Hey, it's Tony Bruschi. When you're not enjoying the ghost stories here on this show, be sure to check out our true crime podcast called True Crime Today. Search it wherever you download podcasts. Myself, Carol Hughes, Stacy Cole, all discuss the latest in many true crime stories, dark, disturbing, and sometimes just plain crazy. Check it out, True Crime Today. Search and press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. Here's a preview of one of this week's episodes of True Crime Today. R. Kelly sentenced to 30 years in prison for federal racketeering and sex trafficking charges. It's also found that he funneled millions of dollars from music royalties through a childhood friend right before his sex trafficking conviction, according to prosecutors. A Baltimore teen convicted of raping and killing an 83-year-old woman while he was just 14. Stories and more today on True Crime Today.
This is True Crime Today.
Not only a tragedy for the family.
It's unfathomable.
Shot to death more than half a dozen times, likely with a shotgun by his own mother.
True Crime Today.
He said he then drove her body in her van about 5 miles away.
Police say she put her newborn in a trash bag and threw the baby over an upstairs banister.
A podcast that examines real stories in real time.
Disturbing.
He says she asked him to help her end her life.
True Crime Today. Starts now.
That indeed it is. Welcome to the program. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any episodes of True Crime Today. This is the Friday wrap-up episode of this week, and it's been one hell of a week for True Crime and just like what the fuck stories. We've been covering them on and off through breaking news and through the full-length programs throughout the week. Today, we're going to be covering the R. Kelly story. Ghislaine Maxwell's story is going to be on Monday. It's just been a lot of stuff this week. Tony and Stacey Cole with you on today's episode, by the way.
Well, I feel like the world is upside down right now. And we're just reacting to like every breaking news thing that pops up, and you know, depending on what side of things you're on, it's either devastating or exhilarating. So there's no in between. It's the world is ending or the world is beginning. It just, like I said, no in between.
We're
living or we're all dying.
And that's what I don't understand how I kind of live my life in the middle where I just kind of pick and choose what I think is right, because I think some things are right over here and some things are right over there. And it's like, I don't know, like some of these things just seem like this is wrong no matter what. It has nothing to do with politics. It's like, this is just wrong. I mean, and if it was like, there's this dug in thing that still goes on where it's like, look, if this is a person you're dug in with and you really believe anything and everything, they really still do believe anything and everything. And it's like, why would you not just back out at some point and say, look, the guy I thought was good ain't so good. And that could be R. Kelly. That could be Donald Trump. That could be insert person here. But like when so much damning information continues to come out, it can't all be a conspiracy. You know, it's like, and I get like a conspiracy, like basically means every person who's on the side of like saying the damning shit is making it all up. And, you know, we couldn't get like enough people to agree that vanilla ice cream is tasty.
Exactly.
Versus like the details of some of these intricate stories that are going on. I don't know where some conspiracy theorists get this idea that like people are robotic enough to do that. They're not.
And my family, they are part of, I think some of my family members believe that Tom Hanks eats babies. So that's where I'm coming from is that, you know, that's where my family is. So anything that came out this week, they will not believe this is all a conspiracy.
Yeah.
But these people who are testifying really have a lot to lose.
Oh, God.
So they've made a choice that they want to speak the truth, their truth, and the risk they are taking in this world is so immense that you and I, we've taken risks in our life to stand up for what's right.
Yeah.
But it's nothing compared to what they're doing, because this is on a national scale.
Well, and what I'm sick of, honestly, is the term, what you just said before, and I don't know if you meant it that way, but you know, their truth, or there is just the truth. I mean, that's there is truth is a truth. And facts are facts.
Yes.
It's not like my set of facts or your set of facts. It's like, look, a fact is a fact, but not anymore. Now it's,
well, and we all have our own perspective of how things happen.
Sure.
But ultimately, at the end of the day, either somebody said this thing or they didn't say it. And if you've got witnesses and four people say, yes, that's what was said, but one person says that never happened.
Yeah.
There's a problem here because somebody is blocking this out. There's just there's so many discrepancies that I wonder, you know, if we've gone into such fantasy land and wanting to believe so many things are true that maybe, I mean, these people, I have a family full of liars. My family, my dad and my brother are professional liars.
Yeah.
My brother, And we could do this in our upcoming podcast that we're talking about. But my brother claims that he's killed several people and that he's employed by the government.
Are you serious?
To do it. Yeah. And I can tell you he's not. He is not.
So and he's not institutionalized. He's
not. He should be, but he's not. But he could pass a lie detector test because he truly believes in his heart that this is his life's purpose. And the government employs him, and he has killed people.
What does he do for a living, like in a real job?
He was a drug dealer.
Well, that could influence it a little. Okay.
He was my absolute hero when I was growing up. He went to college. Yeah. He got a degree in psychology. He started a supplement business. Sorry, my cat's meowing in the background. Sure.
Yeah. The cat's like, yeah, he's a fucking liar.
Yeah. He started a supplement business for weightlifters and it took off. He did a great job. He was amazing.
Yeah.
But then he somehow started getting into illegal things like steroids.
Okay.
Which, you know, supplements, it could be a gateway.
Yeah.
You know,
sure.
His customers were asking, do you have this? Do you have anabolic steroids?
Yeah.
So I think he went off in that wing and then it led to other things. And then he became a user.
Okay.
And it just went from there. He actually finally got busted because he was distributing generic Viagra before there was such a thing. And you don't fuck with Pfizer.
Yeah.
You do not fuck with Pfizer. And the DEA cracked down on him. There was a pre-dawn raid at his home.
Oh my God.
It was just an entire horrible mess. And it involved some people in Costa Rica. I mean, it was huge.
Wow.
And I think it was shortly after you and I were working together. Mm-hmm. We had to lock down all of our internet. My brother had sent me an Apple computer. He was rolling in money. He just sent me a MacBook. We like shut that thing down because we thought, you know,
yeah,
it was being tracked.
Yeah.
I mean, there was just so much shadiness going on with him.
Oh my God.
It was bad. It was bad. And he ended up doing, I believe he was on home arrest, house arrest.
Yeah.
And he turned on some of his people. So it was just a really ugly time. I didn't want to be associated with him.
Sure.
You know, because it was risky.
Oh, yeah.
We all could have been killed by the people that he turned on.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so, but I mean, he's a professional liar. He got really good at it, and all in the name of money. He made a shit ton of money for a long time until he got caught.
So does he?
And you will get caught.
Yeah,
that's the thing.
Well, eventually, yes. I mean, and he's still like, do you see him at any get-togethers or anything?
No. Anymore?
Okay.
No, I haven't seen him in probably 16 years.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Because that's so scary when people can like believe their lies in that. I mean, and it's like what the thing with all of this, whether it be an R. Kelly supporter that still stands by R. Kelly to this day or whoever it may be, you know, just when the idolized individual that you thought you knew is not that person and they still stay there. That's what I don't get. Like, I get it, like, initially until a lot of shit comes out. It's like, I may not agree with somebody's ideas or whatnot, but, you know, as long as they're not doing horrible, evil shit, okay, it's just a different opinion.
Tony, I grew up being a huge Michael Jackson fan.
Oh,
but
yeah.
When all the shit came out, I can't listen to his music now. But there are a lot of people who still love him and will still listen.
Did you?
I can't separate that. I can't say, Well, but his music is good. He diddled little boys, but his music is great.
Did you finally kind of make the transition from like, I don't know, I think because for a long time I was kind of in that bandwagon of like, I don't know, like I think like he's such a target that a lot of it is bullshit. And I imagine like many of the accusations were utter bullshit, but there was enough over the last 10 years that have come out with what people have said that it's like, no, this isn't bullshit. And whether Michael Jackson believed what he was doing was wrong or not, doesn't even matter. I mean, the fact that he even on camera was like, I sleep in the bed with little boys. There's nothing more loving than sharing a bed with children. It's like, yeah, that's not right. That's not how you do things.
That's not the social norm. And, you know, I think with this R. Kelly story, I think we start getting into this area of people are celebrities and we elevate them so much that they don't think that they can do anything wrong. That even if they do say to themselves, this doesn't feel right, they're elevated in such a way that they feel like they're magical, that they're powerful, that it's not going to be a problem for them. It would be a problem for you and I, but I can do this. I'm a celebrity.
It really is a magic way of thinking. I think they think I don't even know if it means celebrity. I just think they think they're smarter than everybody else. And the experiences that they have are more profound than other people. I mean, it's ultimately narcissism, but they feel that it's love with whoever they're imprisoning or raping or children that they're funneling in. And in their mind, it's like, this is just love. I'm just showing them love. They're not viewing their actions as predatory at all.
Exactly.
And the rest of the world is. And that's how they can stand there and say, I'm being persecuted. I'm doing this. I'm just showing love. I'm just doing, because they're so twisted in their thinking and they are unaware of it. I mean, there's predators that get caught and you can tell they know what they were doing was really fucking wrong. And then there's people like this, like an R. Kelly or a Michael Jackson. When they speak, no, they truly believe they're just showing love. They do not get it. They do not understand that this is predatory behavior. They don't understand it. And I don't know an analogy to make on that other than it's like as time passes and social norms change, people may look back at some things people said 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago that are not socially acceptable to say anymore today, nor should be believed or practiced. But one may go, well, back in that time, that really was the norm. And that's kind of how we thought. It was wrong. It wasn't appropriate to think that way. But at that moment, the way we were conditioned, the way we were brought up, we didn't realize that. But we are humans and we evolve and we can change our way of thinking and we can move on from bad ideas and horrible persecutions of people and things like that and not find humor in saying this or that and can move on. But these people don't seem to be able to do that. They seem to be in one mindset and that's it. And there's no going out of, you know, when you're 16 years old and you're dating a 15-year-old, okay, that's not a big deal. But when you're 30-something and you're dating a 14 or 16-year-old, it's fucking horrible. But they still seem to be in this mindset of like, well, I was 16 once and it was okay then. Why is it not okay now? It's like, because you grew up.
You know, and that age difference, my husband is 12 years older than I am. Mm-hmm. And, you know, had I been 15 and he was 27,
sure,
that would have been a huge problem.
Well, yes, back then, but you grew and you matured and you became an adult. And that's the difference. You were given those years to do that as one should and not be mind fucked by someone who's that much older than you in those developmental years. Once everybody's into the stage of developmental adultness, then it's whatever anybody wants to do when you're an adult. It's your choices.
But there's still some shared experiences that we don't have because of our age gap.
Sure.
12 years doesn't sound like much, but it is.
Sure.
There are things that he recalls in the 60s. I wasn't alive then.
Sure.
So, you know, it's a weird thing, mm-hmm. you know, even though what our ages right now are fine.
Yeah.
But if I were 15 and he were 27, there's so much you go through between when you're 15 and mm-hmm. 27 or whatever that age difference is.
Sure.
I mean, there's being able to vote, there's being able to drink, there's going to college, there's all these things that a 15-year-old hasn't done yet that somebody who's in their 20s has. And it's, you just can't, you can't compare the two. And it's hard for that 15-year-old, you know, to say you shouldn't be dating somebody older.
Yeah.
But I don't know what you say to that older person. What are you doing with somebody that young?
Well,
it doesn't feel right.
It's interesting because I remember in the 90s when I was in high school and, you know, even junior high, there was a group of girls usually came from, you know, not the greatest home, usually not a good father there or none at all. And I remember some of them like bragging about like my boyfriends in, you know, not even in like out of high school, you know, like 20 something and they're like 14, 15. And there was many of them that were doing that. And it was just like open conversation. It wasn't like, oh my God, this person's a predator. They were like, look, I got myself a man and that sort of thing. And today, I mean, and that was like mainstream groups of popular children. It wasn't like the kids off in the corner that you know are being abused and no one's helping. It was like, that was like just kind of conversation. Now, in no way, in shape or form, am I ever saying that that's right or wrong. I felt it was fucked up back then, but nobody was really saying anything. And that was the 90s. I mean, does that sort of thing still go on today? Or is that a little more hush hush if that's happening because people know like, you're going to go to jail for that shit pretty quick if anybody finds out.
I think it's pretty hush hush. And I think... Yeah. I feel like with our lives being on the internet, on social media, I think it's really hard to hide it. So, you know, but back then it was, my God, even the police had a song out about, you know, don't stand so close to me, about a teacher who was in love with one of his students.
Yeah.
Well, so it was a little more.
It was amazing how accepted it was. There were many songs that glorified it. The creepiest one of all is,
she's 16.
Yeah. She's only 16 years old.
Yes.
Leave her alone, they say. And in the video, the guy is like 30 something and he's creeping outside this like 16-year-old's window. And then they get on this carpet and they're like flying through space and time.
Yes,
and the dad.
I'd take you up.
Yeah. If I could fly, I'd lift you up. Yeah. Into the Night by who sings Into the Night?
Hang on. Who is that? It's, oh dear God. One Direction just popped up. That's not who it is. Let's find this.
Into the Night is by Benny Mardones.
Yes. And I think he was a one hit wonder.
And if you want to see the creepiest music video in the world, watch that. But it was on MTV. It was a song literally about a 30-year-old creeping on a 16-year-old as the parents fended him away. And it was like this love story. And this song still gets played on, I think like gold based adult contemporary radio because melody wise, it's not a bad song.
It's not a bad song. It's just those lyrics. You're like, what the hell?
The lyrics in the video are the creepiest thing in the world. But these things were so normalized in culture. And if you're someone who is born past 2000, you have no idea how normalized this shit was, like right up into the point you were born.
Ringo Starr had You're 16.
Yeah. Yeah, listen to half of the oldies. Listen to the fun, like the real oldie stations that play like 50s and 60s oldies. It's all about predatory behavior. Like I'd say like 3/4 of the catalog has something to do with preying on a teen girl. And I mean, it's all about it. And it was just like, that's normal. That's okay. So then when we had this shift in culture, somebody finally spoke up and said, this is kind of fucked up. There's still all these people who are like quietly like, I'm going to still do what we always did. And that's where I think we have this land of insanity where it's like, well, it was okay then. It's okay. Like, no, it really wasn't ever okay. It's just it's like the culture shifted actually fairly quickly, if you look at it from the days of that to where we are today. And in no way am I saying the good old days were good. They weren't. It was fucked up. But
it was fucked up, but we didn't do much about it. Now we're a lot more vocal about things like that.
Yeah.
And back then it was just, hey, there's songs out there and that's just what we did.
Yeah.
You know,
it was very much, I mean, it's like very much a, that's just the way it is moment from Bruce Hornsby. It's like, that's just the way it is. And it's like, no, it really should change. And thankfully it has. R. Kelly sentenced to 30 years in prison for federal racketeering and sex trafficking charges. Finally, isn't there another trial coming up too where he's going to get a sentence out of that? Or is this like it?
Yeah, I think they're going to talk about the restitution that they're going to pay, the fines and things. I think the money is going to,
I thought there was another state. Deal with
money later.
I thought another state was going to try him as well.
Yeah, I think so.
On the same stuff. The disgraced R&B singer, this is from CNN, R. Kelly was sentenced to 30 years in prison Wednesday following his conviction last year on federal racketeering and sex trafficking charges stemming from his efforts over years to use his fame to enslave victims to be sexually abused. Prosecutors had asked the judge to sentence Kelly 55 to more than 25 years behind bars, while his defense asked for 10 or fewer, saying prosecutors' request was tantamount to a life sentence. You're goddamn right it is. Survivors of Kelly's abuse held hands and prayed at U.S. District Court. Judge Ann Donnelly began reading the sentence. Kelly, who wore a tan prison uniform, dark rim glasses, and a black mask, as the hearing in federal court in Brooklyn showed no emotion. You left in your wake a trail of broken lives, Donnelly told Kelly, whose full name is Robert Sylvester Kelly. In declaring the sentence, Donnelly said she considered Kelly's own traumatic childhood, during which his attorney said was repeatedly sexually abused by a family member and a landlord. It may explain, at least in part, what led to your behavior, the judge said. It most surely is not an excuse. Exactly. We can identify where these things happen, and that's a good thing to do. But it's never, I don't think it should really put weight on what the sentence is for the behavior. Jeanette Cunningham, a former backup singer for Kelly, praised the sentence. I started this journey 30 years ago, Cunningham said outside of the court after hearing. There wasn't a day in my life up until this moment that I actually believed that the judicial system would come through for black and brown girls. I stand here very proud of my judicial system, very proud of my fellow survivors, and very pleased with the outcome. So he finally gets a sentence. But I mean, this comes nearly 20 years after there was a video of him fucking a 14-year-old in his bathroom with his Soul Train awards in the background. And somehow the jury back in that trial in like 01 or 02, whatever it was, found him innocent. And then he was free. And then we started playing him on the radio again. I mean, he had a whole other string of hits after that debacle.
Well, don't you feel like part of that was the celebrity portion of him that, you know, he's famous, therefore. You know,
but what the fuck were we thinking back then? Where it's like, we were playing R. Kelly on our station back then after all that shit came out. And it's like,
I had a friend who had, I Believe I Can Fly in her wedding.
Sure.
You know, and it was like the theme of her whole wedding was like flight and taking off and R. Kelly. I mean, just, I can't imagine, you know, and this stuff was known. And
it was
picking that.
It was. I mean, these are just, it was out there. It was like, there was no question that this shit was real. But like, oh, he's so talented. I don't understand. I really don't understand how we look back and rationalize any of it. But I mean, everybody played it. It wasn't like it was just one station that's like, we're going to keep playing R. Kelly. I mean, fuck, if you listen to like the Sirius XM R&B station, they still play R. Kelly.
Oh yeah. As a matter of fact, I think I heard him 2 weeks ago.
And someone like that. But again, if we're going to go through and go to kill every artist's airplay that did shit like this, you'd be knocking out a lot of music. You'd be taking Elvis out. You'd be taking Michael Jackson out. You'd be taking R. Kelly out. You'd be taking a lot of oldies out. And there'd be so much that would be gone. And
oh my God. Yeah. I didn't even think of Elvis, but
he was like, I mean, 14 years old was his wife. So he's right on the fucking gravy train of predators.
Jesus.
And but we still, but nobody's ever really kind of come to that one yet. Nobody's ever gone like Elvis was a predator. He's clear as day a fucking predator.
Well, and his, the movie just opened about his life too, and yeah. It's going to be a blockbuster.
And they still idolize like, oh, Elvis. Like I think it really has a lot to do with people digging in. When you dig into something and you have an emotional connection, not necessarily to the person, but the music. And the idea of it's more the idea of this romanticized reality that never really existed. You stick with it because it's way too painful to jump out of that and say, maybe this was fucked up. And yeah. It's weird how our minds work. I mean, the thing is, I can still listen to R. Kelly songs and like them, but I still cringe. I cringe now a hell of a lot more. You know, than I used to. And I don't really like have R. Kelly in any playlist or something. But if I hear it on the radio, it's like, oh, yeah, that was a good song. Because it brings back memories of my life at a certain time when this song was playing or that song was playing. But it there's a whole shady veil on it now, too, where it's like, I wouldn't pick this song for a wedding anymore.
Oh, God, no. No. Not now. You know, unless it's a prison wedding, maybe.
I mean, there should be a new Sirius XM channel just called like Predator 364. And
I'll tell you, they would not be repeating songs very often because there's enough of them out there.
Well, I've always joked it'd be interesting to have a station called WRIP and all you do is play dead artists. And it's like new this week on WRIP. And then you're, you know, like welcoming Whitney Houston or whoever died. And
oh, my God, Tony, I think you're onto something.
I thought about doing that for years as an online radio station. But then I realized there's not an eighth day or 20th day in the week to have fun with that idea. But it'd be interesting.
I don't think that's a bad idea. I think it's a very accurate idea.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. R. Kelly here. The other thing, everybody's like, well, what about his money and stuff? R. Kelly, obviously, he was a crafty individual, funneled millions of dollars from music royalties through a childhood friend right before his sex trafficking conviction, according to prosecutors. Oh. Shocking there, not really. R. Kelly secretly has access to millions of dollars from the sale of some of his music royalties and funneled them through a childhood friend around the time of his sex trafficking trial last year, prosecutors said in court. Assistant U.S. Attorney Elizabeth Geddes disclosed the claims during a singer's sentencing hearing in Brooklyn federal court just before a federal judge handed him his 30-year prison sentence. Kelly was convicted on the sex trafficking charges. Geddes noted that Kelly, through his R&B music, received revenue from two separate forms of intellectual property rights. One is from his master recordings, which is owned by Sony. The other is the rights to his composition and lyrics, which Kelly personally held until August of 2021, the month his trial began. Sony has withheld paying Kelly royalties from his master recordings as the company deals with judgments related to civil legal proceedings against him. They're currently holding on to between $3.5 and $4.5 million worth of royalties for Kelly, but owe $7 million in judgments. Getty said Wednesday, the composition and lyrics rights, however, were sold for $5 million in August. Prosecutors did not identify who purchased them. The proceeds, according to prosecutors, are being held by Kelly's childhood friend, Keith Helbert. Helbert also received hundreds of thousands of dollars in royalties from those rights, prosecutors said. Jennifer Bojean, Kelly's attorney, said at Wednesday's hearing that she was unfamiliar with the transaction and the royalties went down dramatically during the trial. I'm not familiar with him being able to get $5 million, she said. Bojean also argued that the potential for future royalties shouldn't be considered, as Judge Ann Donnelly, who presided over the trial, considered a fine. Many people refuse to play his music since he's a convicted rapist and sex trafficker. She pointed out he also struggles to understand the nature of his contracts because he struggles with literacy, she said.
Oh, boy.
I think he's pretty close to indigent, said Bojean. He doesn't have any regular sources of income. Donnelly issued a $100,000 fine plus a statutory $40,000 human trafficking penalty in addition to the 30-year sentence. She also scheduled a restitution hearing for September. Kelly's biological sisters on his father's side shook their head as Donnelly ruled on the financial penalties that he'll face from behind bars. I think indigence is probably a stretch, Donnelly said. So there's still money out there. So I don't think he's going to be like starving at the canteen while in jail.
No,
but
they're going to have to put him in a separate area, I would think, to keep him safe.
I would think. How do you think this ends for him? Do you think he serves out the rest of his life in jail? Do you think he kills himself?
He'll probably end up killing himself, but he will absolutely, he is not going to be paroled. He is a black man. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
I hate to be so blunt, but yeah, if he were a white artist, I think things might be a little bit different for him.
If he were, I'm trying to think of an artist that's male. Give me somebody, because I'm not good at it. If he were Josh Groban, your favorite artist, if Josh Groban were convicted of all these things and did everything that R. Kelly did, do you think he'd serve 30 years, or you think he'd be out in like 5 and a half and back on stage and women going, I don't care.
You raise me up, baby. No, he would not serve the full sentence. Yeah. I guarantee it. He'd be out on good behavior. He'd actually probably still be doing concerts and then just have to go back. He'd be on Huber release.
Yeah. It's like, oh gosh, that would be interesting. So, I mean,
I don't want to live in a world where Josh Groban is a sex offender. I mean, there'd be, mass hysteria in the streets. He's such a good guy. I don't ever want to know that there's skeletons in his closet.
Like Ed Sheeran or somebody were accused of all this. Like,
can you imagine?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. In this world, I can, because I mean, there's so many people that I've been shocked by over the last handful of years, where it's like, really? And in no way am I saying that those people did anything wrong. I'm not. I'm just throwing out names that you really would not suspect of anything, and just the shock of it. So do you think he's going to make an album in jail, like over the phone? I know some people have done that. Rappers have done that.
No, he probably could. I mean, that would be a way to make some money.
I wonder.
And have some clout.
What's interesting, I wonder if we're going to have civil suits as well after this, because the fines that were issued were really kind of BS. There doesn't seem to be anything in this where he's paying any sort of restitution to the victims. This is all going, I mean, these fines, they just go straight to the state, don't they? I mean, it's like...
That's my understanding of I'm not real up on that.
The person who gets the payday is the government, not the victims. Yes. So it's like, we caught you and now we're going to cash in. And the victims, well, you had your day in court. I guess there's book deals and such to be had if you're a victim and you want to get some money. But I'm going to imagine now that he's been found guilty here, they'll be civil after this to try and suck anything else that he may make in the future off of those. Because somebody's going to make money on those royalties. There will be sales of his music for eternity. It's just going to happen.
And I guarantee now that this verdict is out, people probably have downloaded his music because he popped into the news.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Good or bad. You see huge upticks in sales like that. You saw an uptick in sales in Michael Jackson when the documentary came out a couple years ago with the two boys in it. You're likely to see that sort of thing happen. But there we go. 30 years, he'll be 85 when he comes back out.
Jesus. Yeah, I don't think he's going to serve the whole sentence, because I don't think he's going to be alive. I think somebody's going to take him out. That's my prediction. It's a really bad prediction, and I feel bad saying it, but predators don't do well in prison.
They don't, but he is R. Kelly.
Well, he's got that going for him.
I don't know. I wonder how that's all going to end. I'm predicting death. I'm predicting more of a suicide death than being taken out, though.
Yeah.
I just kind of see.
You're probably right.
But I think there'll be a note left where it's I'm innocent, or where he never really truly. There'll be one last stab at the victims with him saying that he's right, and then he's out.
Exactly.
I kind of think that's how that'll end. I mean, and then another one that this is what we're going to be talking about on Monday's episode, Ghislaine Maxwell.
Oh, God.
How do you think that? Number one, I think that they gave her way too freaking light of a sentence. 20 years. And I mean, in 10, she'll probably be up for parole on good behavior or something for all of the stuff she was involved in.
Oh, and hers is a whole different level of
depravity,
of crime, because a lot for her, it was mental.
Yeah.
She manipulated the living shit out of these women, these girls.
Yeah.
And just her involvement is way deeper than I bet any of us know.
Well, a lot of it came out and she was found guilty of it. You know, it was like she was involved in the abuse, like physically involved in the abuse. So it really, I mean, to me, it's like, well, that doesn't really make it any less worse than what Epstein was doing, who was actually, you know, kind of the, what was viewed as like,
perpetrator.
He was a perpetrator. So was she. She was just as much a perpetrator, if not more, because I think he did kind of sat back and, you know, she was the Grubhub of, you know, young women to him. Where it's like, it's like, yo, I want this. She goes and figures it out. And she did it mainly, I think, because she wanted the socialite status, because she lost all that with her father. And she was so in love with just having everything that she would do almost anything for him.
Yeah. And, you know, she was, it sounds like she was a victim as well to a point.
No.
But that doesn't make up for it. And I think there's a lot of people that are in the closet with that story. And I don't mean in a closet way, but there's a lot of celebrities are terrified of their name coming out as being part of this. I think there's still more people that we don't know
about. There's tons. And I think that's also partially why she got such a light sentence. I think there's a lot of judges involved. I think there's a lot of politicians involved who were behind the sentencing and were able to, you know, like, okay, let's do something. If we go here, she won't talk. If we go there, she's going to talk. And I think she still holds cards. I don't think this is something, oh, she's in jail, she's going to sing now. No, she's not.
Nope.
No, I don't think, I think she'll be killed if that starts to happen. I wouldn't be surprised if she does get killed in prison, honestly, because she is such a liability for doing that.
Or quote unquote, kills herself.
Yeah.
Wink, wink.
Exactly. Wink. Because she still holds all the cards here. I think she's going to have a very cushy prison sentence or stay, because I think she can be like, I want this, I want that. Oh, you're not going to get me that? Well, guess who's going to be coming out in the headlines next week? I mean,
yeah, tell Judge so-and-so I'd like to talk to him.
That's,
you know,
she still holds power, and that's how that's going to roll, unless she gets killed or she kills herself or, you know, is, you know, or quote unquote kills herself.
Exactly. Yeah, it's not going to be the end of her. We will hear another story about her very soon.
We're going to hear a lot of stuff. I really hope that, I mean, she should do humanity a favor. If she wants to do anything a favor, that would be coming out now and saying, singing like a bird.
Yeah,
and
spill it.
And spill it on who's done what. I mean, all you have to do is look at the flight logs.
I mean, for fuck's sake, they went to a private island?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I mean,
and it's going to sweep up politicians, actors, royalty.
Judges. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot to be had there. And that is public. The flight logs are public. It's not like it's hard to find out who was on those planes. And one has to guess, if you're chilling with these people, you probably at least know what's going on a little.
Well, how could you not? Because if it's a private island, you know that the rules are out the window. Any laws, anything. I mean, it's fair game. Everything is a go.
I guess.
So,
yeah.
What, do you just get to the island and go, oh, I had no idea this was going to happen. Bullshit.
No.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
Of course you knew what was going to happen.
Yeah. I don't think there's any way to. But I think, again, a lot of that, the public looks at those people that are on that flight log and they're like, well, it would be too much of a disruption of my reality or what I thought reality was for all those years to accept that this is real.
Yeah.
And it runs on all sides. It's not just Republican, Democrat or anything like that. No, I mean, it's Clinton. It's Donald Trump. It's Bill Gates. It's many, 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 many people that are on those logs. And sorry, you got to accepted at some point that the people that we thought who they were and shake that up a little bit and adjust to the new reality.
Well, and you know, we've all hung out with people that you kind of look back and go, ooh, maybe I shouldn't have done that.
Sure.
But at some point you kind of wise up and go, you know, so-and-so is really not a good person. I need to step back from that. And I've done that. I've had some friends, even in Wausau, where I'm not going to hang out with you anymore. There's something really off about you.
This takes it to a whole new level, though.
Yeah, it does.
It's like, there's one thing where it's like, well, this person's kind of doing some shady shit. I can't say I've ever, like hung out with people that I knew were, like, actively, like, being predators. I ended up finding out later they were. Most of it would be like, well, they're kind of into, like, they're too much into this drugs or this or that. And it's like, I don't want to be part of that scene. But this shit, I mean, you're getting on an airplane, going to a private island where there happens to be all these unattended to 14, 15, 16 year old girls, and there ain't no parents there. They're just staying. What the fuck do you think is going on there?
Yeah. And even if you ended up on the plane, got on the island, and you saw this going on, you need to get the fuck off that island and tell somebody.
Yeah. it's just, I don't even know what to make of it anymore. So there we go. She's locked up. He's locked up. But in 20, 30 years, that's going to be some interesting things to watch if either is still alive.
Absolutely.
To see what's going to be going on. It's the Ghislaine Maxwell R. Kelly tour. And she's singing back up and he's back on stage and singing the hits. Stepping in the name of love.
Yuck.
That's going to wrap up today's episode of True Crime Today. If you like the show, be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any episodes of the show. And leave us a review there on Apple Podcasts. We would greatly, greatly appreciate that. Until next time, for Stacey Cole and all of us here at True Crime Today, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.